there's a scripture. We were talking about this scripture last night. Got me thinking as I was thinking about how to introduce the man that's going to speak to us today. It's in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the appointed time by the Father." What that scripture is saying to us is that when we come to know Christ Jesus, we're babies, right? We're children. But we have to grow up and mature in the Lord. And as long if we stay babies in Christ and we don't understand who our Father is, we differ nothing from a slave in the house. And modern terms or in a real world analogy, I would say it like this. If, Donald Trump, let's use him for an example, his son, when he was born, when he was a little child, a little baby, did he understand who his father was? Did he understand that his father was, when he's just a little infant, did he understand that his father was a billionaire and had authority and power and all this money and everything that was going to be his one day? He didn't understand that because he's just a baby. All he cares about is wanting to be fed, right? And diaper change and things like that. And that's what Apostle Paul's trying to say to us in this scripture is that as long as we remain children and we don't understand who our father is, we differ nothing from a slave in the house, though we're master of all. And the reason I bring that scripture up is because the second part says that we're under guardians and stewards until an appointed time by the Father. So there's people that God places in our life that we need to submit to, that we need to let all be mentors to teach us, because they're going to help us to understand who we are. They're going to help us to understand who the Father is. And this man that's coming up to speak this morning was one of those stewards, one of those guardians that was placed in my life when I came to know Christ to help me to understand who I was, to help me to understand what God wanted me to do, to help me to understand that I was a son of God. And so I just have the utmost respect for Charles Parris, who's going to speak to us this morning, because he has been a spiritual mentor, a spiritual father in my life. And I'm just really honored to be able to share him with you guys this morning, because he's taught me so much and been such a blessing in my life. And I know he's going to be a blessing to you all this morning. So Charles Parris, come and speak to us this morning.
Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you. Well, I count it to be an honor to be here today. I really do. I feel like that we are a part of this great, great part of God that goes on here once a month. The first time I came, I was so moved by you, and I've carried you back home to my little city and to those pastors that I know, and I've shared about what God's doing here among all these brothers, and I'm so thankful for you. I feel like I'm a part of you. I come here humbly before you today. I don't come here, I know that in this room, there's no big I's and little U's. We're brothers in Christ, and I thank God for that. I thank God for you showing me that when I came here. Today, I'm going to tread out on some waters that you may have never been. I don't know. You may have. I don't know. But I know what God has laid on my heart. So I want to share some things with you today, and I want you to be praying with me and believing with me as we go there. I'm really excited about the subject that I have today. The title of my message today will be Seated in Heavenly Places. I want to talk about us, you and I, being seated in heavenly places today. So if you would, please turn in your Bible for a starting place and to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 in your Bible. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Paul writes here, and he says, "We're so thankful to God for you and for the faith that you have in Christ Jesus." and the love for the saints while you're turning. I just want to remind you he's writing that. We're going to be reading from verse 9, Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with a knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's reading verse 9 through 13. So before I go any further, though, I can't pass these wonderful words here that God has for us. He says in verse 9, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Sounds to me like that God wants us to have the full, complete knowledge of his will for us. As a pastor, I'm always having people to come up and say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what his will is for my life. But I want you to understand today, guys, that God wants us to know what his will is for us individually. Glory to God. And so, and it says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What? All. Last time I checked, that little three-letter word, all, means all. All wisdom and all spiritual understanding. We shouldn't come behind in anything here. We got to quit hiding behind things like, I don't know, well, I wasn't educated or whatever, because this word is telling us that all wisdom, all spiritual understanding belongs to us individually, child of God. Hello, somebody. All means every bit of it. Now, I know you're not ignorant, but I like to sometimes just labor with words just a little bit, and I want to labor with this just for a moment. If Brother Don told somebody, told Brother Ben and a couple other guys, look, I want every chair out of here. I'll be right back. And he leaves and he comes back and all the chairs are out but five, they didn't obey Don. They left five. All means every one of them. Come on, somebody. So all wisdom and knowledge belongs to you, child of God. Wow. Glory. Verse 10. So that you can walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing. I want you to understand today, the devil's been lying to God's people, telling you can't please God at all times. I'm here to tell you, Paul differs with you, and he says that we can walk in all pleasing unto the Lord. This verse just gets me excited, and it encourages me that to know that God has given us the knowledge to know how to please him at all times. Oh, you're not getting excited yet, but I hope you will before it's over with. Glory. But this verse 13, who God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Did you see that 13th verse? Who? God. God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I didn't say it. God's word said it. Says you have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness shouldn't have any kind of authority or power over you, child of God. You've been delivered and translated out of that place into the kingdom of God. It's easy to see it from this verse that we were once in darkness, but God has translated us. You know what that means, don't you? He's took you out of one place and put you in another place. Hallelujah. And you ought to say, well, when did that happen, preacher? The moment you were born again. The moment that you received Jesus as your personal Savior. He took you then out of that kingdom of darkness and he brought you into his kingdom. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Glory. So we're right now in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're here now by God's faith. We're here by his faith. He's the one that said it. And he said, I have translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You're in that kingdom of light right now. Glory to God. I don't think the church, for the most part, understands that. I don't think they understand the kingdom of God.
Most people, I think, they believe that they're going to have to wait till they get over yonder in glory to be in God's kingdom. But the Word of God teaches differently. One Sunday morning, 1994, I'm at Extended Hand Church, Piedmont, Alabama, and I'm standing there waiting. They're doing the praise and worship, and then they stop that, and it's time for me to step into the pulpit. And just as I start into the pulpit, my right foot kind of gets into what I call the pulpit area there. God spoke to me. And He said, "You let the dead bury the dead, and you preach my kingdom." Now, up to that point, I thought I was preaching the kingdom of God. But, of course, I wasn't. I found out later I wasn't preaching the kingdom of God. Glory. I had to learn some things about the kingdom, and I had to learn that we, you and I, are already right now in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Well, that's not what I want to share with you. I'm just trying to get to a place. Glory. So He spoke to me again right out of His Word. If you really want to quickly turn to some of these places, you can. I'm not going to take time. I'm just going to read them. But Mark chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Watch what He says here. "And when He," talking about Jesus, "when Jesus was alone, they that were about Him with the 12 asked of Him the parable that He had just spoken." Verse 11 says this, "And Jesus said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." Do you see what He's saying here to us, child of God? He's saying to us, it's been given to know the mystery of God. It's already yours. It's in your package that you got when you got born again. Some people just hadn't looked into the packet to see all that they got when they got born again. But listen, this power to know, the power to know, has been given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. They ought not be a mystery to us anymore. Glory. We need to know what it is. Can you see that? Glory. It's pretty plain to me. When I read it, it's pretty plain. But then the question arises, well, what is a mystery? Well, I looked it up. And mystery means a hidden thing, a secret thing, an unknown to most. So what I want your mind to grab hold of here is that you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, or we could say into the kingdom of light, which means the kingdom of God, of darkness, no longer has any kind of power over you. And all of the kingdom of heaven is open to you. Say that one again. All of the kingdom of heaven is open to you. Now, you might have just stepped inside the door. You might have just got born again this morning, last night, last week, last month, or something. But you stepped into the door. Now I often tell them like this. I say, you know, you need to be like a little four-year-old. You know what would happen if you brought a four-year-old in here and turned him loose? He'd check out everything in here. I'll assure you he'd check out everything. And you need to be just that way and be turned loose in the kingdom of God instead of just standing inside the door saying, "I've been born again, hallelujah." We need to check out what the kingdom of God's all about. Glory to God. Glory. I know for sure a lot of church people don't go along with this, but and don't even think about what I've just shared with you. But they got, like I said earlier, they think they got to wait till Jesus comes and they get over yonder in heaven to find out about the kingdom of God. They think as long as they're here on planet Earth, the devil has power over them. I'll say it again real slow. They think that as long as they're here on planet Earth, that the devil has power over them. And some of you do too. But I come here this morning to tell you the devil don't have any power over you, child of God. I come here to tell you this morning that 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Amen. He don't have no power over you. Glory to God. And we need to reprogram our thinker and start thinking like a son of God and rise up and say, "No." I tell my church a lot of times, I've been telling them for years now, somebody got to say no. What do you mean, Charles? Somebody's got to stand in the devil's face and say, "No, you don't." Because if you don't, he's just going to run all over you and your family too. So somebody's got to stand up and say, "No, devil, you don't have this power and this authority over me." Now we understand, don't we, that we've been translated from to. I just told you we've been translated from to. And so we need to find out why we're here. We've been translated here. Now we got to find out why we're here. Glory. A good starting place is over in Ephesians. Can you turn with me in the book of Ephesians really quick? And let's look at some things here in the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's look here. Ephesians 1. Thank you, Father. I got a huge pulpit at my church, and I spread my stuff out everywhere, so I got a small one here. Glory. Good starting place. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read all a good bit of this in a moment, but right now I just want to direct you to look at verse 3 with me. 3 and 4 with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Oh, I forgot to tell you, I used the King James. Glory. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. I want you to understand God has blessed you, you Son of God, with all, A-L-L, all the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. It's a done deal. It's that word hath is past tense. It's a done deal. You say, tell me something I don't know. I'm getting there, I hope. But verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Glory to God. You know, he did that before the foundation of the world. And before you were ever thought of as far as mom and dad or whoever around you. He thought of you, and he has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Somebody say all. All spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. It belongs to you. I like to say it like this. It's in your package. It's in your package. When God gave us the package, you know what a lot of folks did? They looked in the package and they began to pull out things. They said, I don't need that. I don't need that. You know, and they looked at salvation. I got me a ticket to heaven, and they stopped there with salvation. And that's as far as they've gone. We need to look back in the package and find out, hey, I got all spiritual blessings here. All power has been delivered to me. Whoa. You getting awful quiet on me. But listen, all power has been delivered to you. All spiritual blessings belong to you, child of God. Woohoo! Hallelujah. Y'all, excuse me if I get excited. Hallelujah. But we ought to be living from our seat where God has set us. Hallelujah. So we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, or into the kingdom of God, which means the kingdom of darkness no longer has any power over you, and all of the kingdom of heaven is open to you. I done said that, but I wrote it down here where I'd be sure to say it again and again and again, because when I leave here, I want it to ring in your ears that you have been given all power. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And that it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Hidden things, all of that has been given to you so you can know those things. All right, you're in Ephesians. Let's look at it. Let's look at it. Bear with me. I can read a little bit, so bear with me here as I start. And I'm going to read a little. My reading is going to be a little lengthy here, but I got to do it. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I am talking to faithful in Christ Jesus this morning. Because you're not over at Ephesus. So I hope I know Paul's talking to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And I believe I got some faithful folks in here that are faithful. I know you've been faithful to this ministry. I've seen you here. I've been here a few times and I've seen you here. I may not know your name, but I know your face and I've seen you around a lot. And so you're faithful. That's what speaks to me that you must be faithful to Jesus Christ. So this chapter is written to you. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where has he blessed us? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Let's jump down to verse 9. having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Watch this one, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name this name, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things, the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Do you know about the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant was a piece of furniture that God told Moses to make before he built the tabernacle in the wilderness. He said, build this ark, and it consists of 700 pounds of pure gold. And it was the lid, and on each end of it, it had a seraphim with their wings extended to the other seraphim on the other end. And God said to Moses, he said, right there in between those seraphim is where I'll meet with you. And so this Ark of the Covenant came to be known by the Israelites as where God is. They knew it as being the presence of God. Did you know that one day the Israelites were in war? The war was going on really bad. And they were losing men. I believe they lost 4,000 men. Somebody said, we need the ark. We need God's presence. We need the ark. So Eli was the high priest, and his two sons went up there and took the ark from Shiloh and brought it down there. When it come in, the earth began to ring, the Bible says. It echoed because the shouts of the Israelite when they saw that ark coming in. They thought, we've got it now, when they brought that ark into the area. But God was not pleased with what was going on. He was not pleased with those two sons of Eli. He was not pleased with Israel and what was going on. And you know what happened? That next day, I think there was like 20,000 that was lost. But my point here is, I want to tell you, the Ark of the Covenant was stolen. It was taken right then, stolen. You may not know this, but my study shows me that that Ark was gone for 100 years from Israel. But everybody went on like everything's just okay. Did you know the whole term of King Saul, that ark was stolen, it was not there? Hey, that represents the presence of God, somebody. That ark represented the presence of God there in that place, but it was not there. But everything went on as usual. Sounds like church to me. People meet on Sundays and they sing some praises or worship songs or whatever, and a preacher preaches, and they go home and they have not noticed that the ark's not even there. They're not looking at the power of God that God wants to manifest in our lives today, child of God. He wants us to know that he's a very real God. Here comes David. David winds up there. And King David, little shepherd boy David, y'all know the story. I can't go into all the details, I'd love to, but I can't. But listen, here comes David. He's now anointed as king. And one of the first things he does, he gathers the elders of Israel together, and he says, hey, we need to bring the ark up. Where is it? Anybody know where it is? And somebody said, yeah, we believe it's down at so-and-so. It's down there, you know. And so they set out to go find the Ark of the Covenant. And so when they went down and they finally found this Ark of the Covenant. Now you understand it's been gone for 100 years. David knew absolutely nothing about the Ark. He didn't know how it was supposed to be carried. He knew absolutely nothing about the Ark. All he knew is, I want to bring God home. Hello? Some of us younger preachers, man, we get all excited. We get up and try to move a congregation. We don't want God in here, you know, and we don't know a thing about his move. We don't know how the right way. David didn't know the right way. David got off down there, and man, he was excited. He carried the greatest, biggest band, you know, orchestra or whatever. They carried the best singers he could find. You could have heard them for miles coming. And David gets down there, and they find this ark, and he finds out that it's on a cart. And he says, I tell you what, get out here, find some of the best carpenters. We want the best ark. We want a cart. We want a Cadillac cart to carry. Don't spare any expense for God. We want a Cadillac cart. So they get a Cadillac cart, and they put the ark on the Cadillac cart. Everything's looking good. Everything is looking so good. Everything's looking good, but nobody has took time to look into and find out what God said about this ark. And so they take that ark and they set it on a new cart and they put an ox to pull it. God says, and it's going along and they're doing some of the best singing you ever heard. I mean, David's got it all together and everybody's is doing some awesome singing, brother. But God says, hey, I'm not going to have this. That's a beast, an ox, coming in front of my ark. That beast nature, that beast type nature, I'm not going to let it lead. But child of God, in the church today, too much we've allowed the beast type nature to lead us instead of allowing the Holy Spirit of God to lead us. I do not care what name is on outside of your church. I'm talking about brothers in Christ. I'm talking about Father God. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. I'm talking about pleasing our Father. It's what I'm talking about this morning. And he's not pleased with us running around with some beast nature telling us, well, you know, you just a sinner saved by grace, you know. I mean, ain't nothing you can do. You're just so humble. You know, get humble now. I'm so bad. Come on, somebody. No, I've been born by the blood of Jesus. I'm a brand new creature in him. That old man's dead. Hallelujah. Woohoo! I've been born from him. I'm alive in him. And I'm serving a living God. I unhooked from that old Adam nature when I got born again. I used to be, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I used to be under the power of the principality that ruled in wherever I was. Now some of y'all look like y'all might be somewhere close to my age. See, we didn't have all these devices when we were growing up. But you know what I had one time? I found an old huge speaker that came out of some kind of, you know, appliance, some kind of apparatus. And I tore that thing apart and was able to get the magnet out of that speaker. Boy, did I have me something to play with. Hallelujah. I could take pins and mama's hair pins, you know. You know, mama and them used to wear hair pins. And I could take hair pins and needles, and I could lay them over there and take that magnet and pass it over, and those pins would stand up. And I could make them dance, you know. I could get up under here and run in here and make them things scoot all over the table like magic. I mean, I spent hours playing with the magnet, you know. Let me tell you something. The principality that rules over Warsaw, Indiana has got a lot of people under their power, and they're dancing to his song. And they don't know no better, but they're dancing to his song, even in the churches. Hallelujah. And we need to understand. I'm going to help you in just a minute to understand something. We get on in this chapter. We're going to understand some things because I'm talking about your place today. I'm talking about where you sit today. Hallelujah. I found out that God did not want that beast, that ox, carrying that ark. So he put a stumbling block out there. He caused that old ox to stumble. And when he did, it shook the cart. And when it shook the cart, it shook the ark. And when that ark moved and almost fell, Uzzah was a good man. He was in church. He was a good man. A real good man. His name actually means friendly. He was a friendly, good man. He didn't mean to do something wrong. I'm not here to try to come and say, well, you're doing wrong. I'm trying to ask us to look and see what we can do right. And Uzzah reached up like anybody else would, and he went reached up to steady that ark to keep it from hitting the ground. But they didn't know about the move of the Spirit of God. They didn't know God's law and God's word. And he reached up to steady that thing, and when he did, God killed him right there on the spot. You may not like it, but read in the book, it says God killed him right there. He died right there on the spot because he was out of order. What David was doing was out of order. And I'm here to tell you preachers in the house, we've had too many good men to die because we've been out of order. They would go so far and they die. They don't make it because we've been totally out of order. They try to put their hand to things and they die because we've been out of order. I think we need to get in order. I think we need to find out what God's order is. And I think we need to find out what you want us to do, God. What is your order? So David said, whoa. I mean, he never seen anything like that. I'm telling you, he didn't know. He says, whoa. You know, he looked at that for a little bit. And he probably looked over and said, hey, whose house is this right over here? And somebody said, that's Obed-Edom's house. I can just see it. The Bible don't say this, but I see him go over. But he probably wasn't inside because all that music and stuff, he's probably standing out in the yard watching all this going on. And he said, hey, I'm looking for Obed-Edom. And Obed-Edom said, that's me, Mr. Edom. Listen, we need to park this thing. Can you just move this stuff around there in your garage and see if we can park this thing over there in your garage? Can we leave it here? We can't take it any further. Can we just leave it here? Obed-Edom says, sure. But I can see him saying, listen, Obed-Edom, don't let none of your family touch this thing. Don't touch it. We'll be back for it sometime. Just don't touch it. What are you saying, Charles Parris? I'm trying to say to you that you've guarded the Spirit of God way too long, child of God. We've kept people from, well, don't do that. Don't get over there now. I mean, I can remember. No, don't do that. We need to say, Father, Holy Spirit, you're the great teacher. Teach me about you. Teach me about Father. Let me walk. I'll walk softly. I'll walk gently, but let me walk into the yay, deeper things of God. Come on, somebody. I'm totally off my notes, but I've got to get back to them in just a minute. But he says, so they put it there. You know what David did? For 3 months, David got in the scrolls. He said, something wasn't right here. I'm going to find out what's right. I wonder if I've got anybody in here with the spirit of David on them this morning that wants to find out what's right and what pleases the heart of God and what he wants us to do. We need to get in the book and find out what is it that God really wants us to do. And he stayed there for three months. And one day he found out, hey, the Levites, here it is. They're the ones that are supposed to carry this ark. And so he gathered them all up and he said, you're the due order. We've been out of order. You're the due order. I didn't mean to go there. Didn't even have it in my notes, but I'm here to tell you. We must, child of God, we must come into God's due order. And as we come into God's due order, hey, there's going to be more power manifested in our lives than we ever dreamed could be manifested. I didn't even get an amen, but I'm telling you, when we come into God's correct order, he can't but help him. He can't even help himself. It's just going to happen. The power is going to be there. When God told Moses, he told Moses at one point, he said, I can't go in among those people. He said, they are stiff-necked people. And if I go in among them, I'll kill them. I'll destroy them. He didn't say kill them. He said, I'll destroy them. He didn't mean, well, I'm going to go in there because I don't like you. Bam, bam, bam. No, he said, my presence will literally destroy them because they're a stiff-necked people. God wants to come into your house more than you want Him to come in your house. He wants to manifest Himself in your life more than you want Him to. But He can't until you get in the due order. And when we are in His due order, then He can come. And the power that we're talking about, it's going to manifest. Do you mean my time's up already? Oh, glory. Oh, I set my alarm because I thought we stopped at 10. I mean, whatever time. And anyway, but I got to hurry. Please stop me. Don't let me mess up. I set that alarm so I'd know. Huh? Thank you, my brother. I hope you're saying this is good. Glory. So we're in Ephesians, and we have found out. I'll have to jump here. We have found out right here in the first chapter and the second chapter. I didn't get over the second yet, but in the first chapter, Paul says that God has taken Jesus and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenlies. That's where He set Him. And then you know what He said? He said He has raised us up, you and me, raised us up together to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Hello, somebody. Well, you know what? We not sitting there, brother, to look at Jesus. You know what? He sure did have beautiful hair today, didn't he? I mean, did you see that robe he wore? And them sandals. No, we're not sitting there to look at that kind of stuff. You know what we're there for? We're there because that's a ruling seat. That seat has your name on it, and it's a ruling seat. Hallelujah. It's there for you to sit with Him in heavenly places. Are you in Christ Jesus? If you're in Christ Jesus, then you're sitting in that seat of authority. Hello, somebody. Are you tired of the things going on around you? Well, listen, I got a revelation from the Lord that tells you that we have a seat that we can sit in and we can change some things. Where's he sitting? Hallelujah. Verse 21. No, let's look at verse 20 first. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Where? Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, that world should be ages, in these ages, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all. Listen, that's where he's sitting. Where? Far above all power and principality, and every ruler that rules. Remember the magnet? The one that had power over you before you came into Christ. I love my True Purpose guys. I thank God for my True Purpose guys. They bless me every time I'm around them. They encourage me and bless me. I had one over here a while ago and was talking. He's got about less than 2 months that he's out of the program. He said, I've never been this clean in all my life. You know what happened? There was a power, a principality that ruled over him and caused him to do what he did. So don't you dare look down on him or neither one of these other guys, because that same power was ruling over you before you come to know Jesus and maybe even trying to affect you even today. You are not given no power, but it may be affecting you. It's absolutely affecting the things around you. Just like that magnet, when I'd move it over them pins, the pins would stand up. All that, you look at the TV, you see what the news says. You got Facebook. I get so grieved when I scroll through Facebook and see all the kids, all the little kids that are being kidnapped. They don't know what they're missing, this one's missing, that one's missing. I'm so upset with them. But you know what? That principality is ruling, and the church is sitting here. Come on, get me, Jesus. It's getting bad around here, Jesus. Come on and get me, Jesus. I don't mean that disrespectful, but I want to shake your boat this morning and tell you, you can wait on Jesus, but you need to be up busy doing something while you're waiting on Jesus. You've got a seat that says you have some authority in Christ Jesus. We've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wait a minute. Where? In Christ Jesus. Where is he sitting? Above all principality and power and might and dominion and every ruler that rules. Well, let's come to church next week. we're going to begin our revival. It's called a breakthrough revival. You know what? When that David parked that ark down at Obed-Edom's house, you know what happened? He went on to do, like I said, to study. But you know what happened down at Obed-Edom's house? He got blessed. My goodness, did he get blessed. Somebody said, "Mr. Obed-Edom, come out here. I want you to look at the flock. Just yesterday we were out here and we had this number. But look now. The sheep, they've had triplets. The goats have had twins. And look at the horse, everything." And he says, "That ain't nothing." He said, "I just found out that that five of my maidens are pregnant right now, and they were barren." Come on, somebody. Blessings were happening down at Obed-Edom's house, left and right. Oh, if it was in our day, ring, ring, ring. "Hello, Brother Rod. How are you today? Do you know what's happening down at Obed-Edom's house? My Lord, brother, you got to get in on this. I mean, they're having miracle after miracle down there. All sorts of things is happening down at Obed-Edom's house. Tell Brother Don and y'all, hey, we're taking a busload down. Come on, let's go down there." But can I tell you, every bit of it was out of order. None of it was in order. It was totally out of order. That thing was still sitting on a paganistic cart. That thing was still totally out of order, and it wasn't in the place God wanted it to be. It was stolen from where God wanted it. He wanted it at Shiloh. And it was stolen from Shiloh, and it ain't never got back in its place yet. But down there, because it's there, there's blessings. What I'm trying to tell you, just because God comes by and blesses some things at your house, that don't mean you in total order. We need to shake ourselves and find out. I have people all the time say, "Why don't we have the miracles we used to have? Why don't we see God move like we used to see?" We're out of order. I didn't get an amen, but we're out of order. We're doing paganistic things. We're doing just like David did. David did what they did before him. They had it on a cart, and he put it on a cart. We come in and we try to do what we've been told to do by other people that's been handed down to us. But why don't we check and see what's paganistic and find out what's God? What God wants us to do. Why don't we check that out? And when we start checking that out and find out, hey, we may have some power here, but let's get in order and find out what happens. Glory to God. Let's get it in the right order and see what God's going to do. Amen. Glory, because when that ark was brought up, when David finally got those Levites to get it, and they put it on their shoulder like they were supposed to, and got that beast nature out of the way. Come on, somebody. I don't care. Don't get mad at me, but I don't care what we've been taught. We need to check it out with the Word of God and see if it's lining up with what thus saith the Word of God. You need to get to the place. This is the hour. This is the time. This is the time. There is an anointing that's being loosed. It's being loosed on the planet Earth. I come here to tell you it's being loosed on Warsaw, Indiana. A spirit where that people can come up under that spirit, and all at once those spirits that have been boggling their mind and keeping them in darkness is going to be driven from them. I told you one time when I was here, I told you a while ago that you were translated into the kingdom of light. I told you, I believe when I was here before, I told you, you know what darkness, what light does to darkness, don't you? Glory. I tell you what, if you really want to find out, stay out late tonight. Go home to your house. Slip the door open. Ease your door open. Slip your hand in. Flip the switch on real, real quick. Tell everybody, shh, be quiet. And flip that switch on just as quick as you can. And see if you can hear darkness saying, "I ain't going nowhere. I was here first. I ain't leaving." You won't hear it. I mean, time you flip that light on, darkness is gone. I'm here to tell you there's a spirit being loosed upon Warsaw, Indiana, that's going to come to the minds of sons of God. And when it comes, that darkness is going to go quicker than you blink your eye. And they're going to begin to think of God's thoughts after them for the first time. And they're going to begin to see, whoa, wait a minute. These are paganistic carts. We don't need these carts. We need what God said to do. And this is the way He said to do it. And we're going to start doing it that way. And then and then we'll no longer hear, well, why don't God move like He used to? We've prayed all night. Those principalities have been ruling, and your mind has been wrong. Come on, we're going to have a revival start, and we're calling it breakthrough revival. We're going to have a breakthrough. What we're going to do is we're going to start an hour, or maybe even 2 hours before regular service time. And we're going to have them prayer warriors in their prayer closets, and they're going to be in there praying for a breakthrough. Because see, we got this mentality. I'm trying to break through. I got to get through to God. I'm trying to get through to God. Got me a best tummy hawk they make. And I'm trying to break through to that 5 minutes. Oh, my heaven. Got a breakthrough. Listen, we ain't got a breakthrough. We think if we can break through, get a little crack, maybe if you can sing some real good worship songs, brother, and get us in that high, we'll get a crack. And maybe a crack, and God can come through that crack and at least bless me today with what I need, because I need Him so bad. We don't need no breakthrough. We need to take our seat. What I tell you, where the division say we're sitting? Above those principalities. What we need to do, we see Apostle Paul helped us know this. He said, I knew a man in Christ. We're in Christ. I knew a man where? In Christ. When? About 14 years ago. What was he doing? He was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But he was caught up to the third heaven. Hallelujah. He helps us know there's three heavens. He helps us to know that there's a heaven right above us. And then there's a second heaven where the principalities rule. And then there's a place, the third heaven, where God is. For better words. What I want you to see this morning, child of God, when we sit down in our seat, when we sit in our seat, when we sit in our seat, we crush that second heaven. And we bring this, we bring the earth and the heavens together as far as we're concerned. And Luke, it talks about a little woman that was all bowed over and couldn't know why straighten up. Remember her? If she was all bowed over, all she can do is see earthly. She can't look see heavenly. That's the church. That's what the church has been. All we can see is earthly. We're doing what my papa did. We're doing what mama did. We're doing what grandpa did. And all we can do is see earthly. But God, Jesus called her to Him. I believe it's Luke 13. He called her to Him. Now, what's this? She's already been over, and He calls her, and she starts toward Him. And He says, woman, thou art loosed. And she starts that way. And all at once, she's standing up, and everything's in its right place. All at once, she can look earthly. All at once, she can look heavenly. Hallelujah, she can look in both realms. All at once, she was able to crush that second heaven. Those principalities and rulers are not supposed to be ruling over you. You're supposed to be sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where you're supposed to be. My time's gone. Glory to God. I'm just now getting excited. Glory to God. Are you hearing me today? You have been given. It's already yours. It belongs to you, Son of God. That power, that all power, all power belongs to you. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son, into that great light. You ought not give the devil the time of day. You need to declare to him, no, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. 14-year-old, I'm closing. 14-year-old went to the men were going to a what we called a grove meeting, pine thicket, go down in the pine thicket and pray. I got to go down there with them. I had myself an awesome time with God. I got back home, wasn't nobody home. I was at home by myself. Everywhere I rode, we had dropped me off, and I went in the house, and there wasn't nobody there. I went in my bedroom. I got me a chair. I set my chair down there, and I said, devil, sit down. I said, sit down. 14-year-old, I said, sit down. I want to talk to you. And I began to tell him, no more. No more of this and no more of that, because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Are you here? You need to get you a chair. You already got a seat. Give him his seat. Give him a seat and sit him down and say, listen, I want to talk to you. What you've been doing, you are not going to do anymore. Church, men, it's cost you because you didn't sit in your seat. I said it's been costing you because you didn't sit in your seat. I said it's been costing you. But when you start sitting in your seat and God starts telling you what to do and you start mouthing what He said, you're going to change things in your life. For you have been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can I say it this way? Men, please take your seat. Thank you, Brother Lowry.